Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Is this South Africa's coffin on wheels? Traffic cops clamp down on unroadworthy vehicles. So how much of a problem are vehicles that are unroadworthy in South Africa? Eugene Herbert is the chief executive of Master Drive. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
It's a pleasure. How are you doing this morning?
Yeah, excellent. Thank you. So how big a problem are unroadworthy vehicles in this country?
Instead of answering you direct, and in fact, the preferred response is yes, it's a big problem. However, let's put it into context, because, you know, the RMI has been trying over the years to institute a system where vehicles get checked periodically. You know the way they do in the UK, they call it an MOT, so that the vehicle has got to go through regular checks to make sure it's roadworthy. Yes, they have rust problems and all sorts of other things over there, but we're not dissimilar to that in certain parts of the country. And they've been trying for an extended period to get this where it comes into place. And I believe it was mooted for a while that this is what would happen. Now, I don't believe it's possible that you can own a car for 20, 30 years and you've never sold it, that it's in a perfect condition. And you and I know that you walk past somebody's car and you see there's a little bit of duct tape over there. The windscreen wipers, they perished. They probably were replaced before the flood. You know, a few things like that. So it's a major issue when it comes to vehicle roadworthiness. Now, if you don't know, and I don't, and if you haven't been into the townships where you've got a secondary taxi route almost, you know, you've got these vehicles that ply between the internal components of the township and to where the taxi ranks are. Those vehicles are not roadworthy. They are held together in some instances by wire and some duct tape or something like that. Now, that's a major problem. But where it really becomes an issue to you and I is when those vehicles share the road. Now, you know, of course, there's a statistic that tells us that 95% of crashes, accidents, call it what you like, are due to human error. Now, sometimes they say, oh, the vehicle's brakes failed. But whose fault is that? It's not the vehicle's fault, it's the driver. So we, as a rule, and coming through COVID, I think we've seen this problem got worse, where people have had to cut back, save money. So where's one of the things that you do? You don't replace the tires when you should. And you know there's a legal concept of how deep the tread should be. There's also a tire, you know, there's tread wear markers that indicate when you've got no more tread left. Now, when people are pushing the limits and then they drive in the rain, of course there's going to be consequences and there's going to be a crash. You don't replace your windscreen wipers or make sure that you can see through the windscreen. You're driving down the road, the car in front of you doesn't, or comes to a sudden stop, you don't see it in time, and as a result, you rear in them. You don't fix the brakes, you know, and as a result, your brakes fail. People extend service intervals. The vehicle breaks down on the side of the road. So the consequences of not looking after your vehicle are really horrific. And yes, something that I was shown a couple of years ago, a taxi, it had some cardboard and some wood in where the brake pads were. Now you can imagine that's a recipe to ignite. But you know what? These running repairs that some of them have done. Now remember, part of the problem in their industry is kind of that the driver is expected to generate X amount of return for the owner. So if he's now going to cut down costs on making sure that vehicle is kept, he's going to run the tires a bit longer, and I'm sure you'll see mismatched tires.
Absolutely. Yeah. So shouldn't there be a system that after a certain period of owning a vehicle that you need to re-roadworthy it? I mean, I would hate to think about it in South Africa when I think about renewing my driver's license. I break out into a sweat. So can you imagine now taking your car in to, you know, we don't have the time in the day. If you want to apply for a passport and then renew your license and your driver's license as well as roadworthy your car, you'll never be able to work because each thing takes about 7 hours. But it requires efficiency. But in theory, shouldn't that be happening?
Well, in theory and in practice, it happens in other parts of the world. But it's just, you know, we're such a society in South Africa. No, we don't want to do this. You're going to infringe on my rights, etc. But they started off, and just some background on it, the intention was that cars 10 years and older, that's where they would start, because that's a reasonable assumption that those vehicles are probably going to have more things wrong with them. They couldn't even get that right. And then they also wanted to slowly bring it down so it would be younger cars, etc. And then every 2 years, if I'm not mistaken. And you have a look at the trucks, although remember this, that even though you get a roadworthy certificate, a certificate of fitness for a truck, if it's carrying goods for reward, some of those are bought. So now you have to, and this has been totally pessimistic, how many of those things are going to be genuine? Now, that's sad to say that that's how we start thinking. But in principle, every vehicle should be checked. Yes, let's start the vehicles 10 years and older, every 2 years to start, and then 1 year. Mm. And then these vehicles, we will know that the vehicles that are sharing the road with you and I are actually safer. And some of those, by the way, you hear of these taxi industries, some of them are owned by people in government. So they want to make as much money as possible. So if they had to be forced to do it, what would be their response? You know how the taxi industry is in any case.
Yeah, so it is a very, very real concern. Do you think, before I let you go, do you think that South Africa has a greater problem with unroadworthy vehicles than other parts of the world, given the fact that they have the testing?
Well, let's put South Africa somewhere in between the first and third. I don't necessarily believe it's a third world. You travel up into Africa, boy, you see some trucks that are loaded. These things are held together with barbed wire or blowdraht and tape, etc. Really, and there's very little effort to make them roadworthy. And you see now these trucks traveling through the desert. They've got loads that extend to like four times the height of the truck. So Africa is terrible in certain areas. In your main centers, not bad. In India, I spent time in India and even in South America. So we're not unique, but we have, above all, have got the capacity, I believe, if there were will, to change it. Because we're killing 15, 16,000 people a year on our roads. And unless we do something, and I don't know what the percentage is, but a small percentage of that should be attributed to unroadworthy vehicles.
And that's where we leave it. Eugene Herbert, Chief Executive of Master Drive, talking about unroadworthy vehicles in South Africa. 844, good morning.